Welcome to the MacArthur Memorial Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Williams. Join me as we explore the life and legacy of General of the Army Douglas MacArthur and discuss a wide range of military history topics from the American Civil War to the Korean War. Welcome, everyone. My name is Amanda Williams, and I am joined by Jim Zobel today, and we are both historians here at the MacArthur Memorial. And an episode of the MacArthur Memorial Podcast entitled The Final Salute outlines the multi-day state funeral of General Douglas MacArthur. Today is April 11th, 2024, and it is the 60th anniversary of General MacArthur's interment here in Norfolk, Virginia at the MacArthur Memorial. And so today our focus is going to be that final stage of the state funeral. Now, Norfolk has a fascinating history, but General MacArthur's funeral was probably the most high-profile event ever hosted in the city, drawing VIPs from all over the world. And accompanied by his family, General MacArthur's casket arrived in Norfolk on April 9th. About 150,000 people turned out to witness the procession of that casket to the MacArthur Memorial. And then the general lay in state in the rotunda of the memorial from that afternoon through the next day. And between that time and 10 April, 87,000 people queued around downtown Norfolk to pay their respects to General MacArthur. So, Jim, what do we know about those 2 days before the funeral in Norfolk?
Well, the funeral had been planned for at least for about a year, when the Department of Defense started changing policy about funerals, state funerals. They approached MacArthur asking him if he wanted to have one, and he agreed to it. And so that set in motion all these different things that were going to happen for a state funeral, as far as the military being involved, you know, all these different facets for pulling off this military style funeral. And so a lot of things were based in that. Norfolk, however, was an added part of that, because when the Defense Department approached MacArthur, they were thinking about a 4-day funeral where he'd lay in state in New York and Washington, and then they would bury him at Arlington. And it's like they didn't know about the Norfolk deal, you know, that had been pretty much known by everybody for about since 1960, that MacArthur was going to be buried in Norfolk. So when he goes back to him, he's like, no, I'm going to be buried in Norfolk. That put into play a lot of things that would happen within the city of Norfolk. So when MacArthur dies, the city itself, the mayor closed businesses for the day on April 9th when MacArthur was going to come. The burial was going to be on that Saturday, which was, you know, the April 11th. So they closed the businesses and schools on Friday, which is the 10th. And then because they're going to have so many people come into town, you know, I think he said it was like the biggest thing since Lafayette had come to Norfolk in 1824. They have to bring in police from Virginia Beach, from Suffolk, from Portsmouth, from Newport News, just to be able to have a contingent to handle everybody, as well soldiers at Fort Eustis up on the peninsula near Newport News. When MacArthur dies April 5th, they get the word that, okay, you're the contingent that's going to be in Norfolk. And they pour out because they're going to be holding ropes along the streets all the way the 3 miles from 21st Street and Monticello all the way to where MacArthur Memorial is in the old City Hall building. So all that gets enacted. And then as well, you're bringing down the West Point contingent that's going to march in the parade here. You have to get a Marine Corps company, you get a Coast Guard company, an Army company, a Navy company. They're all going to march in the parade. The Army Continental Band is highlighted. They're going to lead the parade. Then all the horses from Fort Myer that do the special duties carrying the caisson, they're all brought down and ensconced at Fort Story, so that when the funeral takes place, they're already here. The honor guard that carried MacArthur's casket in New York as well as Washington is going to be the same one that operates in Norfolk. So you've got all these elements that have been working within the state funeral in New York and Washington that are then going to be brought to Norfolk. But you also, like, all the horses are different than the ones that are in the Washington, you know, parade for the Hall and the Caisson. So they bring those all down here. And so it's a lot of different elements that come together, but it all goes off without a hitch. You know, I mean, they don't have any problems. They fly the body in on Thursday at about 4 o'clock, and it loads right into the hearse, and that takes it to 21st Street, where they change it to the caisson, and then they march the parade down. You've got the John Opgen, who is a West Point cadet. His grandfather was a guy who appointed MacArthur to West Point. He carries that 5-star flag right behind the caisson. Then you've got the caparison horse right behind that. And you've got all those contingents of military people that are going to lead the parade down. They go down and deposit MacArthur there on the afternoon of April 9th. And that's really when they open it up for all the people to come in. So it's a lot of things going on, but it all happens, you know, pretty well considering how many people do come downtown.
It's really interesting looking at all the diagrams that the Army drew up of, you know, where people will be, you know, where the routes will be, yeah, where this flag will be, where, I mean, it's incredibly detailed. But like you said, it's incredible. It goes off without a hitch. So the actual funeral and then the interment is April 11th. And that is also the anniversary of his being dismissed by President Truman, which is kind of interesting. But again, it's the most high profile event Norfolk's ever witnessed. Yeah. You've got all of these international VIPs coming in to town. Who are some of these representatives and who are some of the American dignitaries coming into town?
Well, it's interesting because none of the Joint Chiefs are here, you know, for the burial. You know, Eisenhower's still alive. He's not here. And the main reason is there's so much controversy right when MacArthur's getting buried, because those Lucas and Considine interviews got leaked, you know, where MacArthur lambasted all the military heads about Korea and came up with the plan, you know, that I could have won the war overnight. And so everybody's just going ballistic on this. And you've got MacArthur's main secretary, Whitney, denying it all. And then you've got Willoughby, the former chief of intelligence, saying, no, we talked about that all the time. And so you've got no real big names that come here except for Kennedy. You know, the Attorney General, Robert F. Kennedy. Yeah, he comes down with his wife because they had, you know, made that friendship with MacArthur's at the end. All the Southwest Pacific area guys are here. Krueger's here. You know, Eichelberger's already dead. Sutherland's, you know, the chief of staff, he's had a stroke. He can't, you know, make it down here. But Krueger, Kinney, Leif Sverdrup, who paid for all those birthday parties they did every year, they're all here. All the junior officers are all here. Then for the international contingent, Zinovie Peshkov, who served with MacArthur in Japan, he ran the French mission. He comes from France to be here because he was the one that gave MacArthur Knights Commander Legion of Honor, you know, in Japan. As well, I think Guy de Chevalier, who is the Belgian mission guy, he comes for the funeral. But the big one's former Prime Minister Yoshida. As soon as Yoshida hears that MacArthur dies, he's on a plane and he's here for that. And that, I think, was the big one. And the wild thing about that is right before MacArthur goes into the hospital, Yoshida invited him to come to Japan, you know, to come see all the benefits from all the reforms that he had made. And it was, you know, that last pitch that Yoshida made to him, and, you know, MacArthur didn't get to do. So, I mean, you've got all these people here that really, you know, their lives were very much enmeshed with Douglas MacArthur, but, you know, a lot of the main active duty people are not all here because I think they're all just furious at, you know, these interviews that MacArthur had done in 54 and apparently had said, don't release until after my death. And so, you know, once again, he's, you know, surrounded in controversy. But that morning of the funeral, you know, All of a sudden, all the howitzers are set up across the street, the 19-gun salutes, all the military contingents all come back that morning, the caissons back, all the horses, you know, everybody's, again, on time, no glitches, and it's going to go off like clockwork again.
You're talking about the Joint Chiefs and the fact that none of them come down for the funeral. They all are very involved, though, when he's in state in the Capitol rotunda,
yeah,
they all, right?
And
the president.
They'd all gone to visit him, you know, before he died. And so you wonder, you know, just how broadsided they were by these, you know, these interviews, mm-hmm. you know, that come out, you know, that talk about all these different, you know, people that were all contemporaries and still around. And so it was a weird thing.
Okay. So walk us through then kind of the lead up. So the transfer of MacArthur's casket from the MacArthur Memorial, the morning of the 11th, to St. Paul's Episcopal Church, just down the road.
Yeah. It's just down the street. Gene MacArthur is here with Arthur, and they have all the extended family, like her brothers, and then Douglas MacArthur II, who was his nephew, he's a pretty famous ambassador to Japan and Iran. They're all here. All his daughters and granddaughters are here. They had all traveled on that train to Washington and then flew on the plane down here. And so when the caisson picks up MacArthur at about 9:30, they bring him back outside of the memorial. They put him on the caisson. They go, and the family walks behind him. You know, it's a nice, brisk, sunny day, and it's about two blocks to St. Paul's. The Reverend of St. Paul's was going to conduct the service there. And then the bishop, regional bishop of the Episcopal Church, was like, "Nope, I'm going to controlling this thing," you know, and inserts himself in there. And then so he does the last rites at St. Paul's, one of the oldest structures in Norfolk, you know, still today. And after about an hour's service there, they put him back on the caisson for that final ride, and they bring him back, and they have the 19-gun salute out in front as they carry the body in. And then it's a private, you know, ceremony in there when they lay him within the crypt. And so there's, you know, the news cameras were all set up inside during the viewing, but none of that for the final. We have pictures of the final, you know, casket going in, but I've never seen any film of that.
Going back to St. Paul's, though, for a minute, I mean, it's an incredibly historic building here in downtown Norfolk, and it is very close to the MacArthur Memorial. So logistically, it would make sense for that funeral. Sure. But were there other reasons to choose it? I mean, people often ask about MacArthur's faith. Was he Episcopal?
Yeah, his mom was. Okay. I think Jean was a Methodist. I'd have to go back and look at all that, mm-hmm. but his mom was an Episcopal. And it's funny, you know, because MacArthur, you know, he's a great quoter of the Bible, but I think he was a lot like Lincoln. You know, he doesn't go to a church. You know, he's very much religious. You know, he reads it all the time. But the only two times we have pictures of him at church is at St. Paul's in 1951, when he visited Norfolk. He went to service there that day, right. And then when he's at the burial, and so it's like the only couple of times, you know, that we have that. And I think they also just, you know, it was the closest church to the memorial,
right.
And
it
was right down the street. So you know, that I think that was a very much deciding factor.
Were there leaders of other faiths there? Because I think I remember reading that when he's at the 7th Regimental Armory in New York, there is, I think you've got a cardinal there, you have an Episcopal minister, you have another Christian minister, and then I think you had a rabbi at that one doing that short little service.
I remember that Cardinal Spellman was there, Francis mm-hmm. Spellman, who was the cardinal of the Catholic, and he had worked with MacArthur during World War II in the occupation. He came out and visited him in Manila at the end of the war, and then also came to Japan during the occupation. And he was, when MacArthur came back for that parade in 51, Spellman was on the dais meeting MacArthur, you know, as he got there. And so they were close friends. And when Spellman did it, it was kind of like a non-denominational service.
Mm-hmm.
But when they did it at St. Paul's, it was an Episcopal, you know, last rites, Episcopal sermon for the dead.
Okay. So I think you've kind of walked us through the funeral and then kind of how the rest of the private family service went. Arthur's family is escorted back to New York City at the conclusion of that family funeral service in the rotunda. And then at sunset, there's a battery at Fort Monroe that fires a final 19-gun salute. And that marks the end of the official state funeral and the period of mourning the nation had been through. Just going back a bit, though, you and I, we meet people all the time that remember being here in Norfolk for that funeral, whether they were lining the routes of the street for the procession, whether they queued for hours and hours and actually made it into the rotunda to pay their respects. And I met a gentleman once, an African-American gentleman, who told me that, you know, his father had served. And so when they found out that this was happening in Norfolk, where they lived, his father said, you know, we are going to turn out for this. We're going to go and, you know, we're going to try to pay our respects because I'm a veteran of World War II. And, you know, I respect the leaders of World War II. But the second part was that General MacArthur had basically made it very clear that people of all races were to be able to go to the MacArthur Memorial, you know, right. And this is a little bit before civil rights and all that stuff. And so he'd been very adamant about that. And so what this man was telling me was that his parents very much respected MacArthur because of that position. And it was one of the few places that they could come to in Norfolk for a while where the only other place was like a department store downtown that every Christmas would have a Santa Claus come and everyone could go meet Santa. Right.
It was a segregated city.
Yeah.
You know, and when they had the idea for the memorial, that was one of the things that got brought up. You know, you had attorneys that were, you know, going to the city saying, you know, we don't want some, you know, segregated thing for MacArthur said right out, you know, if everybody's allowed. And if you have any plans of making this, you know, segregated, I don't want any part of it, you know, and that was a very powerful thing, you know, for that time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was one of the only places that everyone could come, you know, at that point.
And that's what you can see, too, in the photos, even from the opening.
Yeah.
And then you see the crowds, you know, queuing up for the funeral. It's a diverse crowd. It's everybody turning out to honor him.
And what I like is that everybody's in a coat. Everybody's in a tie.
Yes.
All the ladies have a dress on. Everybody's got a hat on. You know, it was you dress up when you go out.
All right. Any other stories that you've heard from people who?
Yeah. Cops. That were here, you know, all these, everybody stays at the Golden Triangle, which is still there right across from Scope, right. That hotel, because it was like the biggest one. And Mrs. MacArthur and the family had like a suite on top. But you've got all these general officers, SWAPA guys who, you know, they like to have a drink. And they said it got wild there, you know, because now MacArthur's gone and everybody's just lit up, and they said the cops said it was a big thing trying to keep everybody, or it was a big thing amongst all the people to keep it quiet so Mrs. MacArthur didn't find out what was going on downstairs, you know. So they said it was really crazy at that hotel.
Wow. All right. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories, you know.
All right. Any final thoughts about the funeral here in Norfolk?
Well, it was really the kind of the official opening. I mean, they had that soft opening when he was, you know, on his birthday. But once he's buried there, that's it. And then you're seeing 3,000 people a day in the memorial for, you know, the next 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it was crazy. So that was really the beginning of what is now.
Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks for sharing all your knowledge as always. Thank you for listening. If you have questions, suggestions, or comments, we want to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter at MacArthur1880, on Facebook as the General Douglas MacArthur Memorial, or you can email MacArthurMemorial@norfolk.gov.